Hi there, this is a podcast on the topic of summertime in lockdown. It's the second in our Building Leadership series for our Rosemont girls. This is Maura Cassidy, I'm a staff member in Rosemont, and I'm delighted that you can take the time to listen to this. It's a podcast based on a Zoom meeting we had last week with parents about the topic, and I was asked to do it in a podcast. So here goes. Well, the first thing I suppose to say is that COVID has had quite a big impact, to put it mildly, on teaching and learning. But I have to say that many of our teens in Rosemont found their what we'd call pandemic rhythm up and doing. You know, they often, many of them chose to follow the school timetable. So they were up at school for assembly at 8:50 in the morning, and they worked their school day. And then they had their downtime, whether that was music, dancing, baking, walking the dog, and then they start all over again. I have to say I was very impressed by them. And with some of them, you know, you'd wonder, was there a pandemic? You know, they were so busy up and doing. And it's lovely to see that, and for you parents to see that many of the values, the virtues, the good habits that we've all been talking to them about during the year. We've seen in a very particular way over these last weeks and months, great ownership for learning. It's something the girls have been put in the space to do, and they've really chosen it with the ups and with the downs, you know, because none of us are perfect, and that's not the point. But they've shown great personal responsibility that the buck stops with me. And I know some of you have commented that to me in coaching, you know, how easy it has been in some respects. But I suppose now that summertime is upon us, well, it's different, really, isn't it? And we still have COVID, although we have our roadmap and restrictions are being eased up. I can imagine there's a little sort of sense of concern among parents. You know, we have to step into that space, which maybe between 9 to 3 was occupied by teaching and learning. And what do we do? Well, I think the first thing I'd love to do is to look at the challenges of lockdown that you all are already very familiar with as parents of teens. And the reason I'd like to start with these is because sometimes I think parents can feel I'm a bad parent because it's the way my teen is reacting. And that's not the case. It's good and very important that as caring adults, you have peace in the fact that a lot of your teen reactions are normal. And they're just you're just seeing them in a very real way. And these days we're all, you might say, quite overextended in ourselves. And there's no escape. We're all in the same house, same garden, same 5 kilometers, or now within the county, but it still is quite a restricted approach to life. So the first thing I think is that teens find physical distancing very difficult because it goes against everything that's present in an adolescent impulse to assert themselves as individuals, away from their parents, to spend time with their friends, to grow in their independence, which is normal. And some teens are very responsible about these decisions, but then they get annoyed and upset by fellow teens who they see as being careless by not practicing social distancing or constantly flouting sort of the guidelines. Others get frustrated and angry with the sense of being cooped up. And both reactions are very normal, and sometimes they can be expressed in the same teen just at very different times. And so I think that's something as a parent to be okay with, you know, to think, well, it's not pleasant, it's not easy, but it's normal. The sense of loss of milestones is another thing that our teens are having a big challenge with, whether it's the end of year party or it's a barbecue or the leaving cert graduation. Those are all experiences that help our teens to move from one stage of life into the next. They're like rites of passage. And for the first years, it was like 6 months of school, which was a huge adjustment for them, and that's it. For our leaving certs and our junior certs, a huge anticlimax to all that work they'd spent the year putting in. And they'd spent the year, you might say, in some ways, wishing the exams away, and now they were just taken away, and there was no real choice about it. And that's hard to get your head around, and it's a little bit stressful. And it's normal that they would call us out on that, and find to go from, you know, full speed ahead to that's it is quite a change. The loss of socializing with their friends is also something that causes a lot of upset because they can't connect to their friends in a real way. I know some of our teens have had drive-by birthdays, you know, where obviously friends and family drive by the house, wish them happy birthday, maybe leave something in the lawn or whatever it is. And that's lovely, but sometimes it can increase the sense of loneliness. You know, when am I ever going to see my friends again? Obviously, things are slightly different now, but some of our teens are experiencing quarantine fatigue. They don't want to follow the guidelines anymore. In fact, they don't want anything anymore. They just want to be with their friends. And sadness is often the result of this loss. Teens don't always communicate sadness in expected ways. Sadness often masks a sense of frustration, irritability, anger, disconnection. And these are all very protective reactions that mask vulnerability. And I suppose as adults, caring adults, the goal isn't to take these defense strategies away, not to step in, not to short circuit the emotional learning that's taking place here, but rather to be curious, help them to be curious about what other feelings might be hiding underneath. As adults, we're called to empathy, you know, to express our understanding, our empathy, our sense of it's true, I don't have the answers. And we're not called on to give on the spot solutions because we don't have them. And we can't make promises that we're in no space to keep because a lot of these things are out of our control. And we're not God, as it were. And I think that's all part of, I suppose, the maturing in life for our teens to realize that so much of life is outside our control. And that's what this pandemic is teaching us on a global level, that so many things are out of our control, and to be able to be comfortable with that space of discomfort, you might say. So summertime is here, and I guess we'd be tempted to keep them busy as much as we can. And we don't have the usual supports or outlets. Obviously, tennis camps are up and running. Golf is up and running, if any of your teens are into those two sports. And various other things will open up as we go along. But we don't have the usual Irish colleges, French college camps, jobs for our older teens and things like that. It's difficult for them to get jobs. So how are we going to get through this? You know, before we'd school, some of you have said to me, and, you know, now that's just us. And I think as the restrictions are released, are eased up, it is about sort of in some ways relearning how to get out there and socialise and to, albeit differently, but to really make use of each of the easings of the restrictions to do more within that. But I hope to step into a space of philosophy right now, and I hope you can bear with me in this, because I think this is helpful for us when we're thinking about the challenge of, do I just keep them busy, and am I a bad parent if I can't, and what can and what do I not need to do? So I suppose summertime is a preparation for real education. And the word leisure in Greek at school and in Latin at scola, in English at school, and it was understood to mean leisure. School was leisure, a space where learning was for its own sake. Now, education for its own sake has changed hugely. Education in those days was for the sake of human happiness, joy, freedom, flourishing, not for the sake of work. We've changed a lot in that regard. And I suppose here, let's think for a moment that the important thing is that there are two ways of learning, and both of them are equally important. You might say there are two sides of the same coin. Education has two faces. We can know, you might say nature, to give you an example of that, by the science of knowing, biology, which the girls will remind you demands huge effort. And that's what the school year is largely about. A lot of what the girls do is learning, which requires effort, which doesn't always come easy. Science, the science of knowing in that sense, involves examination and abstraction, which is time consuming and it's tiring. But nature, or our world around us, or education, is also about knowing by the act of looking, by observing, by contemplating. And this is effortless knowing. It's beautiful, and it's as wonderful as the effort, the work that involves effort, the effort of science. Sometimes you might hear the girls say, you know, oh, I'm so excited, miss, I've no idea why. There's a sense of expectation in the air and wonder and awe, almost like a free fall, like the infinity of spirit. And I think that's a beautiful thing. It shows that sort of expectation that I can't control. So I think as adults, it's important for us to step into that space in the summer of what I would call that effortless learning, that less learning of the sciences. Why? Because it's like approaching life with the spirit of a craftsman. In our world, work, it has to be practical and productive. There's no real room for unproductive or impractical work. You know, it's not really valued. And that's not good. Why? Because we lose a sense of education, the other side of education. And as a result, we can lose a sense of the human personality. In other words, if time isn't spent productively with goals and outcomes, well, then it's not useful. It's not valuable. Whereas that's actually not the case. And the greatest of scientific discoveries were discovered in moments of boredom or moments of just contemplative bliss, that knowing by contemplating and looking. So I suppose it's important for us to think about that. Summertime is an opportunity for our teens and for ourselves as adults to rediscover that other aspect of human education, of the human person, the free fall, the curiosity about life and learning. Pieper, the philosopher, has said this is the ability to wonder at our world, but it needs unstructured time or leisure to do that. And it allows our teens to be at one with themselves. It's not being concerned about being busy, but letting things happen. And that leads to a sense of calm and inner silence. That's a lovely thing to look forward to, the calm and the inner silence that our teens will experience because of this kind of learning. And it's an attitude of celebration, not activity for its own sake. So it's not to reduce the summertime to a thing to be done. You know, today it's the pool, tomorrow it's holiday, then it's rest. It's different, letting things happen, which sounds frankly irresponsible, let's face it. But it's important that we need to be happy and cheerful to be. Our teens need to be like that. And it's not something easy for them. You know, social media is, with its updates and its constant sort of demanding of their attention, does create that sense of anxiety or fear of missing out. And we're trying to help them to realize, to approach our world with a sense of expectation and hope and not anxiety, worrying about everything. You might say it's very much part of the ethos of the school. God's in charge, take a moment rather to notice. If we value leisure, we make time for it. And if we don't, we won't make time for it. And that's important for us as adults. And I know that's very challenging these times because so many of you are overworking, you know, and during these COVID days. But we can't give what we don't have. So as adults and parents, it's important to take that time out, whether it's walks or podcasts or date nights. I know some couples are managing to do date nights at home during COVID times. That sacred time to be, to think, to talk with the other half, your other half. So leisure has a lot to do with self-acceptance. I think that's a wonderful thing, that if our teens learn leisure, they learn self-acceptance. Happy to be in their own company without the fear of missing out. The point of your life is you. We're not here to be useful. In fact, we're not here to be used at all. And the purpose of the human person is to be happy, not just being entertained, but to become more myself, to accept myself and how difficult that is for our teens. Happy to be me. And enjoying the useless things in life, or participating in activities, as I said, done for their own sake. Some work demands effort, as I said, some does not, and both are important. But we need the silence to be able to wonder. We need time to gaze, and we need time to get bored. I don't know about you, but I was thinking about this, you know, and it's so far, far, far away. But, you know, maybe for many of us when we were teens, you know, we left the house on our bikes and we came home and we were hungry. And we were allowed to get bored. You know, we just had to make up our own fun, make up our own games. And of course, that did lead to a certain amount of mischief and all of that. But at the same time, and obviously we don't want that too much mischief, but at the same time, it is important to have that freedom to actually make choices about use of time and decide how you're going to do, you know, do things that are interesting or make up things, or it's space for the imagination. Leisure isn't an escape from reality. It's actually an intentional attitude to reality. That we're not machines. Our sole focus is not productivity, it's being. So COVID, I'm sure, as many of you have said to me, has given us all an opportunity, you might say, to allow the why questions to get their foot in the door. Why am I here? What's my life about? What would I do differently? I know some of you are managing to spend more quality time at home because usually your work demands travel and now you can't travel. So maybe some of you have been in the kitchen and some of you have been able to spend more time with your kids. I know some of you have commented on how the relationships between your kids with their siblings has improved so much these days, and how you don't miss the commutes, all of this. So a couple of the ideas that I think are helpful for us, you know, in a culture that's obsessed with nonstop activity, it's a good maybe for us to step into the space of maybe intentionally choosing as a family, as a parent, what things you would like to do going forward. Certainly a lot of the students have commented to me how they love just eating together as a family. You know, they say it's mum and dad are usually so busy, and it's not that they're not busy now, but we all eat together and they're enjoying that. Sorry now, I don't mean to torture you, but that's the truth about it. Summertime, as I said, is an opportunity for us to embed this attitude in our teens, the attitude of self-acceptance, the attitude of learning has two sides to it, the effortless learning, the effort-filled learning. And I think as well is the permission to take our foot off the pedal, that our world has driven us to another level and that we can't just derive our meaning from productivity, because that's not the point. Work isn't an end in itself. People are always at the end of what we do. Again, I suppose just to say the idea of hobbies. I don't know about you, but when I was preparing this podcast, I was thinking, hobbies, what are they? I had to think again, because it's so rare to hear the word hobby. And I don't know about you, but growing up, I had friends who were into stamp collecting, you know, people who were into carpentry, people who were into art, people who were into knitting, all kinds of things. I would really encourage you to help your teen to find a manual skill or a hobby, an old-fashioned hobby. And that's something you do because you enjoy it. You've nothing to prove. It may not work. You've nothing to achieve. And it's a type of love of learning and healthy curiosity that it will build into our teens, which sadly is missing in a lot of 21st century culture. And I suppose think back on your hobbies as a teen. You know, what were they? Music, comics, whatever it was, share it with your teen. Because a world without hobbies is in danger of becoming more passive and dependent. Whereas tangible skills give our teens a sense of agency, that I can do this, look what I did, a sense of competence, well-founded pride in something that exists because they did it. And when our teens are learning a tangible skill, a craft or a hobby, they're learning something for its own sake. And they're marveling at their own work, the fruit of their own labor. And they see themselves in this human reality. You know, it's a bit like a toddler, look what I did, mommy, today. It's a source of great confidence and pride. And Hannah Arendt, the philosopher, would say that we have something permanent to show for our labours in our hobbies, our practical hobbies. And it's so different to social media, likes, filtered photos, which are not real, they're ephemeral, which leads to anxiety, as we know so much. So craftsmanship or hobbies entail learning to do one thing well, not multitasking, because boy, do you have to focus. And the question we can ask ourselves as adults, what do we want for our teens in their careers, in their work? We want something that engages their human capacity as fully as possible. And hobbies bring out aspects of their capacity that they never knew that they had before. Maybe somebody's wonderful at their hands. Maybe somebody's really creative. Maybe somebody has a spatial dimension and she can build. Maybe somebody's particularly artistic. Maybe somebody's not artistic at all and she learns to appreciate that in others. It doesn't really matter. But it is really helpful and good for us to think of that. Well, what kinds of hobbies could my teen be doing? Because those are the things that really help us to press that reset button. And to think again, you know, as I said at the very beginning, summertime isn't about school time in the traditional sense. Summertime is about education in the bigger, the broader sense. And that has a lot to do with leaving your teen to discover, to find new ways of learning, the effortless learning. And oftentimes that can be done in the company of mum and dad or not. It doesn't actually matter. but they're building processes when they're learning. And I think that they're building skills and they have an end product to show for it. And that's something very restful and that gives a lot of inner peace and a great sense of, as I said at the beginning, self-acceptance. So that's it. Thank you very much for listening. And I do hope you found that helpful. And hopefully we will see each other soon.